How to clip the wings of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Treasury Department is expected to reveal some plans today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news on the way today about how the Trump administration could rein in the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which critics say has too much power to interfere with banks and credit card companies. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Treasury Department will reveal plans today for the CFPB, set up after the last financial crisis to protect consumers from predatory financial companies. Marketplace's Jed Kim is here live. Jed, what have we heard so far?
According to the Wall Street Journal, the White House is really interested in stripping the CFPB of its authority to examine banks and other financial institutions. A big part of that would be giving the president the authority to fire the CFPB director at will. There'd be some changes to the Volcker Rule, which keeps banks from trading with their own money. And it wants to reevaluate the Community Reinvestment Act, which forces banks to give loans in poor neighborhoods. As sweeping as the changes are, what the White House reportedly wants is less than what the House is pushing for. One example, the House wants the Volcker Rule gone. The White House appears to be keeping it in place with the changes.
Now, the Financial Protection Bureau really sticks in the Trump administration's craw. What's the beef as they see it?
One of the things the CFPB's done has been to put a lot of limits on payday lending. That's a practice many say leads to unending cycles of debt. Payday lenders, though, say a lot of people actually like their services. They accuse the CFPB of suppressing positive testimony when it put in more regulations. A big complaint critics have about the CFPB is the way it's funded. Right now, it gets its funding from the Federal Reserve. The Trump administration has said it wants to change it to a congressional appropriation. It says doing so would save billions.
All right, Marketplace's Jed Kim, thank you. There's news just now that the CEO of General Electric will step down. Jeffrey Immelt has served for about 16 years. The company has tapped John Flannery, who is currently president of GE Healthcare. Let's check the live markets here. Futures are pointing to a down stock market today. The S&P future down 0.2%, NASDAQ future down 0.7%, minus 31 points for the Dow future. Qatar is promising not to knuckle under in the face of sanctions imposed by some of its Middle Eastern neighbors last week. Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Egypt, and Bahrain halted land, air, and sea traffic to Qatar and banned several Qatari-linked organizations and individuals. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has this update on a story we've been following for a week now.
Qatar is a small country with just over 2 million people, and it relies heavily on trade with its neighbors, says Elon Goldenberg, director at the Center for New American Security.
Every aspect of Qatar's economy is in some ways based on its relationship with these countries.
The sanctions are hurting Qatar's economy. Take the airline industry. Some neighboring countries have blocked its air carriers from flying in their airspace.
So they have to go up over Iran and through Russia. So it's a much more complicated route.
Also, Saudi Arabia closed its border with Qatar, says Edward Jerezhan at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy.
A great deal of trade and food and supplies go through that corridor.
Last week, there was panic buying in Qatari supermarkets. If the disruption continues, Qatar may be pushed to trade more with countries like Russia and Iran, and that could make relations with its neighbors even worse. In New York, I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. Marketplace is here because these days I think it's essential to have an independent source exploring how the economy really works, not just for the market participants or the financial geniuses, but for everyone. Your support keeps our kind of reporting coming, and it is especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. If you could, visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us on the beat. Thank you.
A year ago today, a gunman walked into a gay nightclub in Florida, opened fire, killing 49 people and injuring 53 others. After the attack, some businesses shut their doors for more than a week, and as Matt Petrillo in Orlando reports, some of those businesses are still struggling.
It's a busy morning inside the Dunkin' Donuts on Orange Avenue in Orlando. Store manager Betsy R. says business is finally picking up again after the shooting at Pulse Nightclub. There's also been a sense of community among businesses she hasn't seen before. Many still display Orlando United banners in storefronts.
They got really knitted. I mean, and it's sad to say that something bad has to happen for it to be that way.
The donut chain sits right next to Pulse. The nightclub has never reopened, but it has become a makeshift memorial. Visitors from all over the world come by to pay their respects. Ars watches through a store window. For her, it all serves as a daily reminder of the lives lost.
The people who passed away, they used to come in here all the time, so it's not easy at all.
This part of Orange Avenue is filled with medical offices, restaurants, and retail shops.
Tax accounts at $1,383.
But not every business has bounced back.
Anything else?
Here at Innovative Electronics, a few stores down from Pulse, Glennis Martin is ringing up a customer.
Things slow down a lot.
Martin says after the shooting, many of the businesses here lost money. First, because police closed this part of Orange Avenue for 9 days after the shooting to process the scene, so businesses had to shut down too. When they finally did reopen, there was less foot traffic. Martin estimates his electronics store has been losing $4,000 to $5,000 a month since the shooting.
You know, it's just people tend to not come this way because of that building sitting there, you know. I don't think they want to see the building is what it is.
Now Pulse's owner has proposed transforming the makeshift memorial into a permanent one with input from the community. In Orlando, I'm Matt Petrillo for Marketplace.
And Delta Airlines and Bank of America yesterday pulled funding from New York's Public Theater, which has mounted a production of Julius Caesar by a playwright named Shakespeare. At the bloody Et Tu Brute scene, Caesar looks like Donald Trump. Conservative media and President Trump's son, Donald Jr., have been pushing for the funder boycott. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.